Good morning. This is a part of the service where everybody sits back, gets comfortable. Some people take a nap. Otherwise, I'm happy to be here this morning. It's the first time I've spoken as a representative of Anabaptist Disabilities Network, but I always love getting out of class to go to assemblies, so the name of the church has a good connotation for me. You know, ADN is a very tiny organization. There's just three part-time staff people, but it's a very huge network of volunteers and people all across the country who work together to help congregations be inclusive of people across the spectrum of abilities that we all have. Our vision is that faith communities are transformed when individuals with mental illness or disabilities use their God-given gifts and experiences to enjoy full inclusion in the body of Christ. And in order to make that happen, we have consultants as well as volunteers and staff members who go around and do things like I do today, as well as individual consultations with congregations. It's a delight to be here for a number of reasons. I feel like I'm part of the flow here, as I'm part of the worship service and part of what I know is your history here of inclusiveness and the fact that we have a new inclusive worship space going up here that will add to that a great deal. No steps at assembly, so that's nice. I know a lot of people in the group here today. I'll recognize Dana Miller, I think, because I'm sure he had a lot to do with this new space over here. And hey, Dana. Dana and I go way back. His family and my family were at Camp Friedenswald when we were both growing up as kids. Several times a summer, at least, they'd come out from Illinois and we'd be at camp together. I also survived working for Dana for 4 months when I was in college. So that's my badge of honor. Mary and Emily and I are happy to be here today. Well, Mary and I are very happy to be here. Emily's still taking stock of things, but so far it's a good thing. Right, Emily? Yeah. And pretty soon she'll get her M&Ms and then all will be good with the world. Our text today from John is what I would call a dense passage of Scripture. It's all packed in there with a few words and the same used words over and over, kind of in different ways. It's like a conversation that somebody has where you're moving in the same direction, but it kind of trips over itself and comes back around and eventually gets to the point. I would suggest that the main point of the Scripture passage this morning is in the middle, and it's where it says this: in order that they may be completed in one, so that the world may know that you sent me and you have loved them just as you have loved me. At least that's my working theory for today. The theory is that Jesus' followers are supposed to be completed in one so that those who are not his followers can see that God loves me and God loves you. How does that work? How do we become completed in one? How does that help others know that God loves them? Well, the most well-known reference to completeness that I was able to think of in human relationships may be from the scene of the 1996 movie Jerry Maguire. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on your favorite streaming service. Renee Zellweger and Tom Cruise play the romantic leads, and after being estranged from his wife, Tom Cruise comes back. And he comes home and in front of a group of older divorced women says, "I'm not letting you get rid of me. Today, our little project had a very big day, but it wasn't complete. It wasn't nearly close to being in the same vicinity as being complete because I couldn't share it with you." We live in a cynical world and work in a business of tough competitors. "I love you. You complete me." At which point she breaks in and says, "Stop talking. You had me at hello." I won't try and unpack that whole scene. You can watch the movie, have a good cry, enjoy yourself. But I think the essence of that idea is that even when great things happen, they're incomplete without human relationships. I think that's what Jesus meant when he talked about being complete in one. A more common word that we use to talk about ourselves as Christians is the word compassion. Now, compassion literally means to suffer together. It's the part of the human condition that recognizes that we are linked to one another, whether or not we like each other or know each other. Now, we know that Jesus was compassionate, and we know that he expects us all to have compassion. It's in that story of the sheep and the goats. Remember that one. It's a necessary trait to be compassionate in order to be a Christian. But we also know that compassion is not limited to Christians. Many people who are not followers of Jesus have a great deal of compassion. Let's think about ourselves here today. Even though I know some people, some I don't know, I think I could feel compassion on this group. Perhaps you could have compassion on me, standing up here, not always knowing what to say next. Is he going to make a mistake? You suffer with me in that. But do I sense that I'm one with you, that we're completed together, that we're more complete than we're together than when we're apart? Maybe. I mean, I guess I feel like being here today is going to make me a more complete person. I'm going to learn some things here today. I'm going to meet some people that will make my life better. And hopefully, us being here with you today makes your life a little bit better. It's that interchange. I did go on your website and check out your statements, and one of those I'm going to read back to you. It says, "We welcome all who come our way, regardless of age, economic or social circumstances, ethnic background, gender, marital status, ability, race, or sexual orientation." Everybody has that memorized here, of course, but that's a good statement. I would make one editorial comment, is that I left out a word. It says, in your statement, it says physical ability, and I just dropped the word physical because I think ability is more rounded than that, and that's probably what you meant. So, yeah, right, head's nodding, right. So you recognize differences among you and the need to welcome people with differences. That's in that statement. It's not news to you folks. In light of the passage we read today, I think I would expand beyond the word welcome. You said you're talking about hospitality in this season. That's a very good word to describe it. It's the idea that each little bit of difference that you're able to incorporate in your community makes the community better, makes the community more complete, more a reflection of who Jesus is, more a statement that God loves you and welcomes you. So what about the word canaries in the sermon title? Well, it's one way of thinking about how we tell the difference between expressions of compassion and the kind of welcoming that Jesus set forth as the nature of God's love. The sense that none of us is complete without all of us. That making the effort to welcome and include people who are not quite the same than ourselves brings us closer to the expression of the heavenly community that Jesus calls us to be. So all of us are different in some ways, but some people, some families are more different than others, maybe more out of the typical than others. Our family is one of those families. Our daughter Emily, now 35 years old, is limited in her ability to move. She doesn't communicate vocally, and the way she thinks about the world is probably different than the way most of us think about the world, the way that we take for granted. And as our family moves through the world together, we experience the compassion of many people. But a sense of belonging, I'd say, is harder for us to find. It's elusive. You've probably heard about coal miners in the days before electronics, and they used to take caged canaries into the coal mines with them because canaries would succumb to the lack of oxygen or dangerous gases very quickly. And so if the canary keeled over, the miners knew it was time to get out of the mine before they also succumbed to those things. Hence the phrase canary in a coal mine. We found that observing Emily and how people treat Emily and how people treat us as a family is an excellent guide to how an institution or a community treats everyone. If you want to find the best school for your child, talk to a parent whose child is a bit different than the others. And if they found a good school, that's probably a great school for your kid too. If you want to find a church that'll love you and help you feel like you belong, look for a church where there's a lot of different kinds of people in that church, all feeling like they're part of the community. They're probably going to welcome you too. We lived in Ohio for 10 years as our children were growing up, and we went to Bethel Mennonite Church in West Liberty. And Bethel was built like many churches were in that period of time, not too many today, but you go in the front door and you either go down to the basement or up to the sanctuary. Those are the two choices. There's nothing on ground level. And so we navigated stairs every Sunday with some difficulty. And so we became advocates that they get an elevator and put it in the church. And it was a controversial thing because elevators cost a lot of money. And after all, how many people would that really, you know, are we doing this just for one person, two people, how many people? We tried to kind of get across the idea that, no, you don't count up how many people will use the elevator. You think about what the whole church is losing if even one person is not able to be there, part of that complete community. And so the elevator got built. And at the time we built it, we were really the only family that stood up and said we would need an elevator. But once the elevator got put in, we had a whole group of people that were using that elevator every Sunday with us. And so there was a community of people, some of whom who had been coming and navigating the stairs with great difficulty, and some of whom hadn't been coming because they couldn't get up and down the stairs. At Sunnyside Mennonite Church, where we attend now, a year or two ago, we had an evaluation of one of the pastors. We do a number of things together as a church, and what we do is we divide up into groups. And this time we decided, well, we're going to use a circle method for talking about this topic. And so each group had a talking stick and passed it from person to person as they discussed the questions that were on the list to talk about this pastoral evaluation. David Nussbaum attends our church. David has cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair and can't use really many of his muscles hardly at all. It's amazing that he gets around as well as he does. And his speech is very difficult to understand. And so he doesn't talk a lot in the classes I've been in. But he got the talking stick, and so everything stopped until David said what he was going to say. And he had something to say that day. It took a little while to get it out and for us to understand it, but he had something to say and to contribute to that conversation. So a method that included David also was a method that was really good for everybody else in that circle. For people like me who talk all the time, it was good to listen. And for some other people who also might not have said anything that day had they not had the talking stick, they also got a chance to share. One more story. A number of years ago, after we'd been in Sunnyside a number of years, the church elders and pastors came to Mary and I and said, we'd like to welcome Emily into the congregation and to baptize her. And so we were just impressed that somebody had thought of that and made the effort to speak with us. That was probably as meaningful as anything else that happens in the story. But we weren't quite sure about baptism. Is that the right thing for Emily and what she understands about the world and who she is? And we talked to her about it a little bit. We talked about it with each other, and we came up with a different kind of a ceremony. We had a ceremony where Emily was welcomed into the congregation as a member, and we kind of baptized the congregation. Emily went up front, and we asked some questions, and the church read some different things from different people who had related to Emily, and they talked about her and how she was important to them in the church. And then the pastors took a little bowl of water and a pine bough and sprinkled water on the congregation. So it was a great event. It was a way that the church adapted and made us feel like we belonged. That's what really makes us feel good, when we experience a space where we and Emily are treated not as objects of compassion, given some kind of limited ability to participate in a limited way, but as people who belong in the same space as everybody else. And there may need to be, not everybody participates the same, no matter who you are. There may be different ways that different people participate, but we're all in the same space together. And it's a feeling that hospitality is extended in ways that make everyone complete in one. Before I end, I'd just like to recognize something that if anybody ever has a chance to speak at assembly, you want to make sure you know where Jeff Hostetler's sitting. The first time I ever talked about disabilities, which was probably 30 years ago, when my father was at Neal Avenue Church in He was preaching there for a time in Columbus, Ohio. We were in Belle Fountain. We went down for a Sunday, and I gave a little talk on disabilities in the church. And Jeff was in the front row, and he just was hanging on my every word and smiling at the right times and everything. It's like he made me feel like he was listening. And he's made me feel like that today, so thanks a lot, Jeff. So let's just end with a prayer here today. Jesus, may we all have the eyes and ears and hearts to seek the kind of completeness that Jesus taught, where varieties of culture, ability, personality, social status are all treated and treasured as signs of completeness. Lord, help us to have the spirit and work of hospitality as central to our lives, in the spirit of grace and love which you taught us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.